Please open your Bibles to the book of Joshua. Joshua, the third chapter. We're going to look at chapters 3 and 4, but I'm only going to read chapter 3, 17 verses. I would encourage you, if you have your Bible, to keep it open to this passage. It is my text. We are continuing to look at the book of Joshua, which encourages us to be strong and courageous and do not tremble or be dismayed. For the Lord our God is with us wherever we go. And that is true. That was true for Joshua and the Hebrew children, and it is certainly true for us. God goes with us. In fact, we'll see in our passage, he also goes before us to prepare the way. Joshua, the third chapter, starting at verse number 1. As I read this, I will remind you that this is the Word of God. Then Joshua rose early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim and came to Jordan. And they lodged there before they crossed. At the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. And they commanded the people, saying, "When you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God, with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. However, there shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before." Then Joshua said to the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you." And Joshua spoke to the priests, saying, "Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people." So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, "This day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that you may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priests who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, 'When you come to the edge of the waters of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan.'" Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will assuredly dispossess from before you the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite. Behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord and all of the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is passing over ahead of you into the Jordan. Now then, take for yourselves 12 men from the tribes of Israel, one man for each tribe. It shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priest who carry the Ark of the Lord of all the earth, rest in the waters of the Jordan, the waters of the Jordan will be cut off, and the waters which are flowing down from above will stand in one heap. So when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people, and when those who carried the Ark came into the Jordan, and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for the Jordan overflows all its banks, all the days of harvest, the waters which were flowing down from above stood and rose up in one heap, a great distance away at Adam, the city which is beside Zarethan. And those which were flowing down from the sea of the Arba, the salt sea, were completely cut off. So the people crossed opposite Jericho. And the priest who carried the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the middle of the Jordan, while all Israel crossed on dry ground until all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan. Let's pray. Father, this must have been a sight to see. Joshua had told the people they were about to see something wonderful, a miracle. It wasn't only a miracle because of how it happened, but when it happened. It was your way of preparing the people and assuring them, reassuring them that if you can do this, you can do what's necessary on the other side too. So Lord, we thank you for your word. We believe it's to be to us from you for this very hour. Open our hearts, our minds, I pray. Amen. Sometimes you just have to get your feet wet. The people of Israel got up in the morning and approached the Jordan River without any strategy for crossing, except to obey Joshua. For 3 days, they camped with the sound of the floodwaters in their ears and the sight of the opposite shore, reminding them of the challenges that lay ahead. What they had, of course, were God's promises. God promised that as they would put one foot in front of another, God would go with them. Look back at chapter 1, verse 3. Every place on which the sole of your foot treads, I have given it to you, just as I spoke to Moses. Verse 9. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not tremble or be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. That was his promise. Wherever they would go, as they just would simply put one foot in front of another, wherever they tread, God would go with them. On a human level, crossing the Jordan, passing over Jordan, was impossible. There were no bridges to cross over the wide expanse. On top of that, we saw in verse 15 that it was flooded. This probably meant it was running swifter than usual and wider than usual. And the entire nation, including women, children, babies, supplies, all had to get across during flood season, the absolute worst time. Why does God do that? Why didn't God send him across when it was a drought? He waited till it was flooding. This chapter proceeds in a step-by-step manner. The congregation only knew one step at a time. Verse 1. Then Joshua rose up early in the morning, and he and all the sons of Israel set out from Shittim, where they were camped, and came to the Jordan, and they lodged there before they crossed. So they were camping. They were set up. Joshua says, get up. It's time to move. Pack up your gear. And they moved to the edge of the Jordan. They lodged there. Verse 2, at the end of 3 days, the officers went through the midst of the camp. So for 3 days, they didn't do anything. They just sat there. They just lodged there. Maybe they watched the river get more flooded as they sat there. Maybe it kept getting wider and wider and wider. They looked across the distant shore. There was Jericho, a fortified city. It stood in their way. They just sat there. For 3 days, they got up early, they camped, and they waited, and they waited, and they waited. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord your God with the Levitical priests carrying it, then you shall set out from your place and go after it. So now they get a few more instructions. Keep your eye on the Ark. When you see the Ark move, get ready. It'll be time to move. Verse 4, however, There shall be between you and it a distance of about 2,000 cubits by measure. Do not come near it, that you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. So the instruction is, listen, keep your eye on the ark, but keep your distance, because you don't know where you're going. You have to follow the ark. So you need to have enough space that you can see ahead to where the ark is going. Again, they're getting step-by-step directions. You know, human nature is we want it all at once. I want a detailed plan, right? Joshua was a military leader. He was a planner. I'm sure the people would have preferred to have it explained to them in great detail. Here's where we're crossing. Here's how we're crossing. They're just told to wait. Watch the ark. Stand back. You don't know where you're going. Verse 5. Then Joshua said to the people, finally, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders with you. So they've been waiting now for 3 days. Then they get a notice. You got to keep your eye on the ark. And finally he says, tomorrow, something will happen. That's all he says. Tomorrow, the Lord will do wonders among you. That's all they know. Verse 6. Joshua spoke to the priest, so not to the people, but to the priest. He said, take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So they took up the Ark of the Covenant and they went ahead of the people. Now the Lord said to Joshua, this day I will begin to exalt you in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that just as I have been with Moses, I will be with you. You shall, moreover, command the priest who are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, saying, when you come to the edge of the water of Jordan, you shall stand still in the Jordan. So while the people watch, the priest got their feet wet. Now, how does this drama resolve itself? And how does it encourage us as we head into unfamiliar territory? Well, first of all, God goes with you into the unknown. God goes with you into the unknown. You cannot read chapters 3 and 4 without realizing that a major component is the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Lord. It's mentioned 17 times in chapters 3 and 4. 17 times. It is the focal point. It is what they were to be watching. They were to keep their eyes on the Ark. The Ark is where God dwells. Now, we'll see in the passage, God is the God of all of heaven and all of earth. You can't confine God to a box. But yet God put his glory on the Ark. It was a visible sign of his presence. So they were to keep their eye on the Ark because it represented the presence of God. God was going with them. God was going ahead of them. As you read these two chapters and see the reference to the Ark, God's presence meets us at every turn. Every step coordinates with the Ark. It reminds us that God himself is leading them. God is leading us. God is going with them. God goes with you. But they still had to cross a flooded river. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. We walk by faith and not by sight. We want it all laid out. We want details. We want to know exactly. God simply said, keep your eye on the Ark. Keep in contact with my presence. Walk by faith, not by sight. Have faith in the God who does wonders. Again, the last part of verse 4. That you may know the way by which you shall go, for you have not passed this way before. Then Joshua said to the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. We have faith in a God who does wonders. And the greatest wonder, of course, is the fact that he would save us by faith. That our sins are forgiven, that we're redeemed, we're a new creation by faith. This is the great wonder. In fact, because of salvation by faith, we are New Testament priests and we carry the presence of God with us. Now we're reading about the Old Testament priests and the Old Testament priesthood here. But in the New Testament, we're the priests. We go directly to God through Christ. We are called a nation of priests. And as New Testament believers, we are indwelled by the Holy Spirit. Christ lives in us. We carry the presence of God with us. So in the first part of this story, we're the priests who are carrying the Ark of God. We are New Testament believers, New Testament priests, who have the presence of God with us wherever we go. But sometimes you have to get your feet wet. You have to step into the water. But good news, God goes with you into the unknown. Secondly, God goes ahead of you into the unknown. Again, look at verse 6. Take up the Ark of the Covenant and cross over ahead of the people. So God is going ahead of them even. Yes, he's going with us, but he also has been there. Verse 11, behold, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of all the earth is crossing over ahead of you into Jordan. He is the God of all the earth. Verse 14, so when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan, with the priests carrying the Ark of the Covenant before the people. And when those who carried the Ark into Jordan and the feet of the priests carrying the Ark were dipped in the edge of the water, for Jordan overflows all the banks of the harvest. So God goes ahead of us. But even with God going ahead of us, we still may have to get our feet wet. We still have to take that one step in front of another. We still have to walk in faith. We walk by faith, not by sight. But we do it knowing that God has been there already. Again, verse 13. And it shall come about when the soles of the feet of the priests who carry the ark of the Lord of all the earth. So what's that mean? So God isn't just the God on this side of Jordan. God is the God of that side of Jordan. Right? In fact, we know he's already been there. We saw that in chapter 2. What happens in chapter 2? It's the story of Rahab. How Rahab had already put her faith in the God of Israel. Rahab had found mercy in the God of Israel. God had already been working on hearts on the other side of Jordan. They hadn't crossed over, but God had. In fact, he'd been working on hearts in one of two ways. Some hearts he melted in fear because they would not embrace the God of Israel. But for Rahab and her family, who would embrace the God of Israel, he saved them. He saved them. God goes ahead, preparing the way, working on hearts. There was already a convert in Canaan because God had already been there. Thirdly, faith comes by listening to the word of God. Look at verse 9. Then Joshua said to the sons of Israel, "Come here and hear the words of the Lord your God." Excuse me. They were going to need faith to step out, to step into the water. They were going to need faith to get their feet wet. But faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith comes from listening to the word of God. Again, these first few chapters, particularly, are a demonstration of faith. Rahab demonstrated faith. In fact, so much so, as we saw last week, that she's mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11 in the roll call of the faithful. She's an example of someone who has faith. And then James used her as an example of someone who showed their faith by their works. Rahab is a story of faith. That would encourage the people as they need to step out in faith. If a Gentile prostitute could walk by faith, certainly the Hebrew children could. In fact, that's what verse 10, look at verse 10. Joshua said, "By this you shall know that the living God is among you." By what? Well, by what's going to happen here in the Jordan, okay? By what this wonder he's about to show you. And that he will surely dispossess those before you. So in other words, if God can tame a raging river, he can also defeat the raging enemies on the other side. This was a visible demonstration of what God can do. If he can do this to the river, he can do that to their hearts. He can melt them in fear. But you notice, all the people were to hear the word. Verse 3, and they commanded the people, saying, when you see the Ark of the Covenant. So they commanded the people. All the people were listening. Again, verse 5, Joshua said to the people. Verse 9, then Joshua said to the sons of Israel. Verse 14, so when the people set out from their tents to cross the Jordan. I think the point here is that there are strength in numbers. There was strength in numbers. They all packed up. They all stepped out in faith. They saw their neighbors walking by faith. The extended family saw the leaders walking by faith. They saw the fathers walking by faith, and they followed their dad. So there was a strength in numbers. I mean, in other words, they just weren't called by themselves. One guy, hey, you get up there and cross that river. No, they were all moving in mass. Again, as we move into uncharted territory, as we move into unfamiliar territory, we need each other. We encourage each other. We strengthen each other. You walk by faith, encourages me to walk by faith. So it was all the people whose faith came from hearing the word of God. Verse 9, come here and hear the words of the Lord. So the miracle happens. The waters stand up. They cross over on dry ground. Now, Joshua had said, pick 12 men. He didn't tell them why. He said, now pick 12 men. That's all I told him. When they all get across, he then tells these 12 men to do this. Go to chapter 4, verse 1. Now when all the nation had finished crossing the Jordan, the Lord spoke to Joshua, saying, take for yourselves 12 men from the people, one man from each tribe, and command them, saying, take up for yourselves 12 stones from here out of the middle of the Jordan, for the place where the priests' feet are standing firm. Now, so, again, while the people, now the people were crossed, they're crossed, the priests are still standing there with the ark. Okay, I'm sure they're human. They're probably thinking, just how long is this wall of water going to stay here? When's it our turn? When do I get to go? But God wasn't done yet. He tells these 12 men who had been selected, you go to where the priests are standing in the middle of the Jordan, and you take up a stone, verse 4, on your shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of Israel. 12 stones on your shoulder, not pebbles, not rocks, but as big as they could carry. Verse 6, and let this be a sign among you, that when your children ask later, saying, what do these stones mean to you? Then you shall say to them, because the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it crossed Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off. So these stones shall become a memorial to the sons of Israel forever. The kids are watching. The kids are watching. That's his point. Now, if you read chapter 4, you know that you observe a certain assumption in chapter 4. That is that the greatest enemy of faith is forgetfulness. God did not want them to forget what happened here. They weren't only to remember it for themselves, but they were to teach their children to remember. Look down at verse chapter 4, verse 21. He said to the sons of Israel, when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, what are these stones? Then you shall inform your children, saying, Israel crossed this Jordan on dry ground. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan before you had crossed, just as the Lord had done to the Red Sea 40 years before, when he dried up before us until we had crossed. And all the peoples of the earth may know that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. The children are watching. Dale Ralph Davis in his commentary wrote this. We can almost see it now. 15 years post-Jordan time, an Israelite father and his 6-year-old son are strolling through Gilgal National Park. The lad spots an imposing pile of stones. He counts 12 and exclaims, hey, Daddy, what are these stones for? The son's curiosity now becomes the occasion for communicating to him the news of Israel's astounding God and how he unleashed his power for the people. The kids are watching. Children need to see a good testimony. They need to hear a good testimony. The implication, of course, is that God commonly works behind the scenes. In other words, he doesn't dry up rivers every day. Okay. The moral of this lesson isn't, you know, you go down to the Susquehanna, and if you have enough faith, God will dry it up. No, this was a once in a lifetime miracle here. Okay, But it needed to be remembered. If he dries up the Jordan River every week, then it's simply Tuesday. But no, this is something special. For the church, one memorial that we have is communion. We remember the body and blood of Christ. And our children see it, and they want to know what it is, what it means, and we use that to tell them. So children need to hear what God has done and what God can do and what God had done for their parents and their grandparents. But the world needs to hear it. God's testimony is what all people need to know. Verse 24. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord, that the hand of the Lord is mighty, so that you may fear the Lord your God forever. They were to bear witness to the whole world. We are to go forward in faith. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1 says, let us press on. 1 John 5, 4 says, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, your faith. God is calling us to walk by faith. Even if it means sometimes we get our feet wet and don't know how we're going to get across, God goes with us. God goes before us. But unless we step out in faith, unless we get our feet wet, we're not going to be victorious. We don't have to fear the unknown. God's already been there. God's already worked in it. And now he goes with us. As we take one step at a time, one foot in front of another, God walks with us. I believe we find metaphors of the Christian life in these verses. The people represent the congregation of believers. Israel was often called the congregation. We are the congregation. Hearing the word of God happens in the preaching. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The memorial stones for us are communion. And I might add baptism. And all these things, congregating together, strength in numbers, hearing the word of God, walking in faith, all these things become even of greater importance as we walk by faith in unfamiliar territory. Let's pray. Father, we need to have a testimony. We need to be able to testify of what you have done, what you've done for us in salvation, how you've answered prayer, how you've worked, how when we didn't know what the future lay, you worked all things together for good. So, Lord, we want to be strong and courageous. We don't want to fear and tremble. We know that the Lord our God is with us and goes before us. So, Lord, help us to share that faith with others, with our own family, first of all, but with our neighbors. The world needs to hear that. God, the world is lost. We see it every day. It's displayed in front of us how lost people are. They need to hear truth. The truth shall set them free. And Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. May we carry that message as we head into perhaps very unfamiliar territory for us. We pray. Amen.